Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. While we are talking about the church, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is the sponsor of the Blessings of Liberty. They bring that each and every week, and we do appreciate that. We want to take just a moment to invite you to come out to be with us in any or all of our services. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7. We are currently studying through the book of Mark, and I'm really enjoying studying the Gospel of Mark with our people. And then on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., we have Sunday school for all ages. We have college class. We have a college ministry, or a ministry to the college students, called Collegians for Christ. You can find out more about that at cfcboone.com. Or you can go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. We have service times, directions, archived messages, radio broadcasts, all of those things on the church website. But it is good to be here today, and we want to thank all of our radio stations. We are privileged to be on. We appreciate the opportunity. We do not take it lightly, but our home base is 1450 WATA right here in Boone. And then for several years, we have been on WZAP 690 AM in Bristol, Virginia. We appreciate the listeners there. And then also 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate the church there and Pastor Lamar Whittemore and the ministry that they have with the radio station. And so we do want to welcome you, no matter where you may be listening from. But today we're going to begin a new study. Those of you that are regular listeners, you will know that we have been studying for some time now the Bill of Rights. I look back yesterday, I was studying and just got to thinking about it. I couldn't remember exactly when we started, but we started a study on the Bill of Rights, and we had just come out of a study. We went through the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution. And then we went right into a study on the Bill of Rights. We started that at the 1st of April, went throughout the whole month of April through the second week in August. So about 4.5 months there, we have been studying the Bill of Rights. I've really enjoyed it, and I have learned a great deal. And I hope you're learning. I hope that you are that you are getting something when you listen in on a regular basis. And I'm just continually amazed as I study and learn more all the time. It is a great blessing to be able to dedicate the time to do that. And, you know, we could just turn right around and go right back through all of these things. We've found scriptural principles, Bible principles in all of these things, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And so I have really enjoyed that. Now, if you are a new listener, or maybe you've missed some of the previous radio broadcast, you can go once again to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and we have all the radio broadcasts archived there. So maybe you're interested in what we had to say about the Second Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Eighth, Ninth, Tenth. We studied through all of those. So you can go back, and they're labeled there. Second Amendment, Part 1, 2, 3, 4, however long we went through that. And so it's easy to navigate and find the information that you are wanting to find. And today, though, what I would like to do is begin a new series. I've been thinking about this, and I don't know, I've never done anything like this before, but I want to begin a new series today, and I'm just going to call it Heroes of Liberty. Heroes of Liberty, and we're going to look at individuals, their lives. I'm going to take one a week, try not to go over that. Now, that's going to be hard to do, but we're going to look at individuals who have made an impact in the world for liberty. So we're not always going to be looking at Americans or right around the time period of the 1776. You know, Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, there are of course, going to be included in that, but we're just going to look at people who have made an impact for liberty throughout all the world. And we're going to find some in the Bible. We're going to find some in ancient history. We're going to find some in church history. And we're going to find some in the modern era. So I'm excited about this. And I don't know how long we'll be doing this or how many people we'll look at, but we'll just see how it works out. And I hope you'll be edified as we study together. Now, the first hero of liberty that I want to look at beginning today, we're going to look at the biblical man who we know as Moses. We're going to look at Moses. Every week when we begin the radio broadcast by quoting from Leviticus 25, verse number 10, where the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Now, this is important in the history in America. It is tied in with our history because it is also the verse of Scripture that is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell. If you visit Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you go to the historic sites that you can see there, and you visit the Liberty Bell, you will see Leviticus 25, verse number 10, and it is etched out in Roman numerals around the base, the circumference of the Liberty Bell, and it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land." And so this is tied in, this passage of Scripture, with our history here in America. This is also the first time that you find the word liberty in the Bible. First time you find the word liberty in the Bible is in Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 10. Now, the book of Leviticus, if you go to a Bible and you open up to the first chapter, what you'll find is it actually probably says this, the third book of Moses called Leviticus. Moses, his authorship covers the first five books of the Bible. It's commonly called the Pentateuch, pent meaning five. And so he's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy. This is called, even in the New Testament, the writings of Moses or the books of Moses. Well, the third one is the book of Leviticus. Thus, Moses is the human author by which God, through divine inspiration, introduces the world to the idea of liberty. I've said this many, many times. Liberty is God's design and desire. And that's why we can come week after week, year after year, looking at the subject of liberty and never run out of material, because liberty is a biblical principle. And as you study the Bible and what the Bible has to say about whatever subject that might be, there are ministries that all they focus upon is creation, for example. Well, I guess you could say that our ministry focuses upon liberty. And so liberty is God's desire. Liberty is God's design. Liberty is not an American idea. It is not something that first was introduced or thought of by George Washington or anybody else for that matter. But liberty comes from God. We sing that song, "My Country 'Tis of Thee." And in that song, it says, "Author of liberty." It's talking about the Lord. He is the author of liberty. And God used this man named Moses to introduce liberty, the idea of liberty, to the children of Israel and thus to the world. "Proclaim liberty," God said, "throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." So liberty is the Lord's idea. So I thought it would be good for us to start our study with Moses. Now, I'm just going to give some quick background information on Moses. We could study his life and we could take months, literally, and look at Moses, but I'm just going to give a little bit from his background. Maybe you're familiar with it already, maybe you're not, but Moses was actually born a slave in the land of Egypt. Israel had come to the place living in Egypt, and there's a story behind that as well, but where they had become slaves. And so Pharaoh was over them, and the Bible tells us that he was a hard taskmaster, and he began to be concerned about Israel multiplying. And he said, what would happen if they all got together and decided to rise up? We'd be in trouble. And so Pharaoh, he proclaimed a law throughout all the land that when the midwives would come to help give birth, that they would actually put to death all the males, all the little baby boys that were born in Israel. And so that's the time period that Moses was born under, and his parents, well, they made an ark of bulrushes and they hid him in the Nile River. Some of you maybe even remember that story from Sunday school. So you see, Moses was actually born to a slave family, and he was born a slave as well. He was born about 1500 BC, so about 1500 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you study the Bible, you'll find out that Moses lived to be 120 years old, and his life can be divided into three different sections, three different time periods, we might say, or increments, and each of them is divided by 40 years, so three sections. The first 40 years, if we think about the life of Moses, of course, we've already said he was born a slave. But Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the Nile River and found the little baby in the ark of bulrushes and drew him out and took him home and said, Daddy, can I keep him? Now, that's not in the Bible exactly like that, but that's what happened. And so Moses was actually, although he was born a slave, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh, and he was raised to be a prince. He was raised as a prince, or as recognized as a son of Pharaoh. So that's very interesting that he was destined to die, but through the omnipotent, omniscient hand of God, his life was saved. And he was actually raised in the very house of the one that was oppressing his people. Now, that encompasses the first 40 years of Moses' life. And then the second 40 years, from the age 40 to 80, he lived in exile in the wilderness. He lived as a wanted man down in Egypt because he had seen the affliction of his people, and he decided to take matters into his own hand, and he slew an Egyptian. There was an Egyptian down there that was persecuting a Jew, an Israelite. And so Moses, he took things into his own hands, and he killed that Egyptian, and it was found out, and Moses had to flee from the land of Egypt and live in the wilderness. And this is where Moses learned some things about humility. You see, him being raised a prince, he probably didn't learn much growing up with Pharaoh about being humble. So before God could really use Moses, he had to teach him some things about being humble. And, you know, there's a lesson in there for us as well. If we're going to be used of the Lord, we have to learn what the Bible says. Pride is an abomination unto the Lord. God cannot use us when we are filled with pride. So Moses had to learn some things about humility. He had to learn some things about patience. There's no doubt Moses said, boy, God can never use me now. I've really messed up, and there's no way that the Lord could use me. So he had to be patient while the Lord was working on him. And that's where he learned to be a shepherd as well, because he married while he was out there in the wilderness, and he kept flocks and learned how to look after sheep and livestock and all those things, because God had something in store for Moses. He was going to make him a shepherd of people, but he had to first learn some things about humility and shepherding and patience and all of these things. So we really don't know that much about the middle part of Moses' life, but the most that we know about Moses' life is in his later years, from when he was 80 to when he died, when he was 120 years old. And when we see him there, we see Moses as the great deliverer and the leader over the children of Israel. And it's during this time period that we find that in the life of Moses, he actually led Israel out of Egypt. And I'm sure that many of our listeners, you know that God led them out by a great and mighty hand and parted the Red Sea, and Moses led them out. And boy, they had a time. They had many adventures there in the wilderness. It's during this time in Moses' life that God gave him the Ten Commandments. Moses went up on the mountain, spent 40 days with God, and God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger and gave it unto Moses. And maybe you remember that from the Bible. And so it's during that time period that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And it's during this time period that Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Moses, and we don't have time to go all into this, but Moses never was allowed to go over into the promised land because of his anger. And he had problems as well. You know, we all do. But the life of Moses is very, very interesting just to study out by itself. But you say, well, what does that have to do with America? And what does Moses have to do with liberty? Well, there's a reason why I wanted to look at Moses first. And that's because if you really think about it, Moses, if you think about his life, two major things come to mind. Number one, I think about him being a liberator, a deliverer. I think about him leading the children of Israel from slavery into liberty. That's the first thing I think about when I think about Moses. And the second thing, when I think about Moses, I think about the law, because it was God that gave the law to Moses. He gave the Ten Commandments. And of course, there's more than Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, but the thrust of them, the summary of them, can be put into the Ten Commandments. And most people are familiar, at least a little bit, with the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments unto Moses. So he was a liberator, but he was also a law giver. Now, of all the Bible personalities we could look at, which have had an impact upon American society, Moses would probably be at the top of the list. Now, there are others we could look at, and we will look at some of these. We could think about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We could think about the Apostle Paul. We could think about John the Baptist. We could think about some others that have had an impact upon American society. But I do not believe we will find one that has had a greater influence upon society than Moses. And I don't mean that. I mean, we're talking about comparing Moses to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you just think about this a little bit. But the impact that Moses and the Ten Commandments have had upon American society. For example, if you go to Capitol Hill, our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and you go to the U.S. Capitol building, and you go to the chamber house where the House of Representatives meet together. Now, the House chamber there, where the House of Representatives, that's the people's house. The representative, and we've talked about this many times here on Blessings of Liberty, our nation's government is set upon the idea of we the people. And so the House of Representatives, you know what that looks like if you know anything about our nation and its history. The State of the Union Address every January is given by the President of the United States, and he gives this State of the Union Address in the House, in the U.S. Capitol building, in the House chamber. That's where you've seen that on TV. If you ever watch C-SPAN, whenever Congress meets together and they're up there and they're debating legislation or bringing forth bills, that's the camera, that's the place where all this takes place. And so a lot of C-SPAN is just a camera, just watching what is going on in our nation's capital. I went to the government website, aoc.gov, that talks about the U.S. Capitol building, and I found a statement in there. It said this: the U.S. Capitol building is among the most architecturally impressive and symbolically important buildings in the world. There's a lot of symbolism in the U.S. Capitol building. Now, there where the president gives the State of the Union address, and there where the business of our nation takes place, is a very important place in our country. And just above the Speaker of the House, up at the front where they call it the rostrum, and the Speaker of the House sits there in the middle and presides over the business matters of our nation. Just above the Speaker of the House is our national motto. And you know what it says? It says, it's inscribed upon the wall there. It says, "In God We Trust." And the very chamber where the business of our nation is crafted and carried out, as the Speaker looks across the room, if he looks up to the ceiling or towards the ceiling, there are 23 faces. They are embedded up on the wall. They go all the way around the wall. And there's different leaders and lawgivers. On the west side, there's 11. And on the east side, there's 11. But direct, and they have a profile picture. I say a picture, but a bust is what it is. They have a profile of their face up there on the wall, on the east and on the west. But directly across from the Speaker of the House, the seat, the rostrum, the president, when he gives the State of the Union address, if he looks straight across the room and he looks up, there's a face up on the wall, a full face that is looking back at him. And guess who it is? It's Moses, a full frontal view. And they're all around Moses, and Moses is directly in the middle. The U.S. Capitol building is one of the most symbolically important places in the world. How interesting that is. If you were to go and visit the Supreme Court building, where our laws, where the highest judges in the land sit, and they debate about different court cases, very important things going on in our nation. You know, and I say many of our listeners has actually seen this and maybe didn't know what they were looking at, but the architecture on the outside of the building, above the giant columns, there is in the middle figure, and the statue-like representations up there. Moses sits in a seat, holding in each hand a tablet of the Ten Commandments. And there are others as well on the outside, but they are all kneeling or looking towards Moses. Moses is in the middle. You would put the very most important lawgiver in the very middle. So you could go to our nation's capital and you could see these things with your own eyes. Moses with the Ten Commandments. And all the other great lawmakers are facing or kneeling towards Moses. Once upon a time, in probably, and I don't know for sure, but a great many courthouses throughout our land, you could go into and find the Ten Commandments on the wall or in a prominent place. And I know in the past few years, many courthouses have taken down the Ten Commandments. But I still want to say that's what the laws of our land originally were based upon, was upon the Ten Commandments and the laws that we find in the Bible. Many of you, when you were growing up and you went to school, you went to public school, you went to elementary school, you went to high school, it would not have been uncommon to find the Ten Commandments somewhere up on the wall in a public school in America. In fact, these were taught in our public schools in America once upon a time. We're talking about the Ten Commandments that God gave. God gave to who? God gave to Moses, and it affected our land for the good. You could go to the schools. You could go to the different houses of worship, not only Christian churches, but you could go to Jewish synagogues and you would find the law of Moses. You would find the Ten Commandments. So Moses, when we think about his impact upon liberty and law, what a great blessing that is. Moses was the liberator and Moses was the lawgiver as well. And in the next few minutes, as we quickly run out of time, it just goes by so fast every week when we come and talk about these things. But liberty and law are not contrary the one to the other. They are actually complementary one to the other. Our forefathers recognized this. They recognized that in order to have true liberty, you would have to have the correct balance of law. You cannot have so much law that you become a tyranny unto the people. And so we have the Bill of Rights. We have the Constitution. We have a limited government. We should have limited laws in this land. It seems, though, that we're in the other direction. We have unlimited laws and thousands more being made each and every year. But our founders realized you had to have the balance there. There had to be a balance between liberty and law. No society can function efficiently, effectively, without both. You've got to have both. Liberty frees us. Law protects us. Without the law, you would have lawlessness. You would have anarchy. I mean, if you didn't have law, you couldn't walk down the street safely during the daytime, let alone the night, and you would just have everybody out here. They might say, well, we've got liberty, we've got freedom, but nobody would be safe. Nobody would be protected. There would be no liberty. There would be no justice for all. So you cannot have a society without law. You have to have the proper balance. And without liberty, all you have is tyranny. All you have is oppression. All you have is persecution. So you have to have both in order to have a good, healthy society. In order to have liberty, you have to have law. And so these things are complementary one to the other. And this is why the psalmist could say in Psalms 119, verse number 45. Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture for those of you that like to study about liberty and like to study about civics and like to study about society. Psalms 119, verse number 45, the psalmist said this, "And I will walk at liberty." Well, we're interested in that. That's what we're talking about. But here's what he said in the second part of the verse. He said, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Precepts is another word for the law of God, the statutes. So he recognized that the only reason he could walk at liberty is because he had a proper concept of the precepts of the law of God. Isn't that interesting? So as we think about heroes of liberty, we cannot do that without thinking about Moses. And I'm thankful for Moses. I'm thankful for the Ten Commandments. I'm thankful for the impression and the influence of these godly commands upon our society. In order to have a good society, in order to have liberty, you have to have law. So what better person to start with when we think about heroes of liberty than to think about Moses, who was the liberator for the children of Israel. He delivered them. God sent him down there, told Pharaoh, said, God said, let my people go. So he was the liberator. But then when they got out and they began to live out from under the government in Egypt, they had to have some laws of their own. So God gave them the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, you have man's responsibility towards God, and you have man's responsibility towards man. How interesting that is. So we're looking forward to getting into this new study on the heroes of liberty. I hope you've enjoyed it and gotten something out of it today. There's a lot more things we could say about Moses, but we're going to have to stop right there. We do appreciate you listening in. This has been the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You can find more information about the church or the ministry by going to MountLebanonBC.org. That's MountLebanonBC.org. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.